I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." On behalf of your whole parish family, welcome to Trinity Church in the city of Boston. Though we cannot yet convene in full and teeming community, we remain one in the Spirit. Indeed, every one of us looks forward to that glad occasion when once again we will gather as Christ's body in this sacred space. Thanks be to God, the steps you take today bring us closer to that Holy Communion. Today, you begin our shared procession home. During your pilgrimage, you will hear a series of three short reflections, each centered on one of our treasured stained glass windows. A prayer will follow each reflection, followed by a full minute of silence, all intended to support your prayers. During this time, please make yourself at home. We invite you to stand, to kneel, or sit in one of the pews we have prepared for this purpose, high-touch areas we sanitize before each pilgrimage. During your experience, you will hear the sound of this chime. Chimes will mark the start of each reflection and signal the silence before the next reflection begins. Finally, once all three reflections have concluded, you will hear our choir sing, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." Listening to that hymn, we invite you to pen a short post-it note, perhaps a prayer, a greeting, or a word of encouragement, inspiration for your fellow pilgrims as this procession home continues. You may then attach your note to the poster board on the broad step before making your way to the altar rail, continuing your prayers, and picking up your communion kit to take home with you. Now, as soon as these words of welcome conclude, about 30 seconds of silence will follow before the first chime sounds. Again, we thank you for joining your prayers with our great cloud of witnesses today. We invite you now to find your center and to make yourself at home.
Greetings and welcome back to Trinity Church today. The first of three stained glass windows we'd like to share with you now is high up in what's called the south transept. So if you're in the middle of the main aisle facing the altar, look up and to your right to find three windows telling the stories of Easter, the Ascension, and Pentecost. Each is capped with a field of bright blue, a color used often in Western Christian art to signify the healing presence of God. Have a look for a moment at the first of the three, at the left. It's drawn from the short, strange account of Easter morning that ends the Gospel of Mark. When the Sabbath was over, very early on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices to the tomb so that they might anoint Jesus. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him." So they went out and fled from the tomb, Mark's gospel concludes, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Confused and afraid, that's where Mark's gospel leaves us. In a place of confusion and disorientation, not unlike today. Look up to the high left corner of the image and you'll see, on a hill far away, the ghostly outlines of three rugged crosses. The cross to these women is not yet a sign of hope and new life. Its meaning is still death, and the shadow of death is still over the land. What's worse, these three have been denied the rituals that accompany death and the comfort and solace that goes along with doing something familiar in a time of loss. Mary Magdalene, who has dropped to her knees in shock, has put down in front of her the jar of ointment she has brought for the anointing. It's as useless to her now in this moment as, say, Samsonite luggage is to us in a time of pandemic and quarantine. Mary and Salome back away in fear, establishing physical distance between themselves and this shocking messenger. "He is not here," he says. And these three women must abandon whatever they have scripted for themselves and for this day. Their plans must change. And because the tomb is empty, they have been denied a shrine, a place to weep, a convening place. Neither the tomb nor human memory can fully contain the one who still lives. "In the resurrection," says Rowan Williams, our former Archbishop of Canterbury, "in the resurrection, this human life is declared to be God's, to belong with God. That is, it is shown to share in the radical creative energy that generates all things." God's radical creative energy. That's what this image, I think, is all about. Our lives are God's. Our lives in the Easter story share in the radical creative energy that is the source of all things. Now, what this means on a day-to-day basis is not often clear to us. It's energy that is often frightening and disorienting. Energy that often asks us to surrender the familiar and the comfortable. Just now, these three are looking into the confounding and comfortless face of a mystery. Inside of the frame, they cannot yet take in that overarching field of deep blue, the presence of God's healing and new life.
God, prepare us to be tried and true, purely and holy sanctuaries. And with thanksgiving, Holy One, we'll live as spirit-filled, healed, and transformed sanctuaries just for you. As we gather before you, wonderful and magnificent God, reveal yourself as you did to the women at the empty tomb. Speak to us in ways that illumine our darkness and enliven our steps. Come alive in us, call us by name, and give us the commandments of new life that will order our steps in this time of solace and as we leave this place. Wherever you find us, whether on bended knee, seated or standing, transform us in your image of perfect love. Create within us clean hearts and renew a right spirit within us. Amen.
Greetings and welcome back to Trinity. It's so good to be together with you in this way. The second of the three stained glass windows we'd like to share with you today is high up in what's called the North Transept Gallery. Standing in the middle of the main aisle, facing the altar, look up and to your left to find three windows telling three Christmas stories. The visit of the shepherds at the far left, the visit of the Magi in the center, and the flight into Egypt at the far right. The entire expanse of these windows is filled with green, and there is a vine that connects all three of the windows, uniting them in one huge, green, and living expanse. I like to think that Edward Burne Jones and William Morris, the creators of these windows, remembered Jesus saying, "I am the vine, and you are the branches," to remind us that
At all times and in all places, we are connected with Jesus the Vine, and through him, with one another. Perhaps there is no more important time than right now to remember that we are one through Christ, separated though we are due to the pandemic. Look for a moment at the scene at the left, depicting the visit of the shepherds to the newborn baby Jesus. Sadly, this story has been so romanticized that it is easy to forget just what station in Jewish society these shepherds occupied. They were the lowest of the low, considered ritually unclean because of the messiness of their constant mucking about with sheep and dirt and dung. How wonderful, then, that it is central to the Christmas good news that these were the first to hear of the Savior's birth and the first to visit him. The Christ came for them, outcast and despised. Perhaps we can remember that this same Christ welcomes in our own day those despised by our society and the parts of ourselves considered outcast and unclean. Now look at the central panel of these windows as the Magi bend towards the Christ child with their gifts. By tradition, these three have been understood to represent all the peoples of the earth in our myriad colors and from our varied cultures. Their gifts can remind us that the God who comes into our midst as a vulnerable infant is needy. God needs us. God needs our gifts in their multiplicity and wonderful variety to bear the good news that this God comes in love and peace to all the peoples of the earth. God says to them, in effect, and to us, I welcome you, and I love you for all the gifts you bring. Now work with me and use your gifts to build a new kind of world, a world of love and justice and peace. Finally, turn to the window at the far right, depicting the story of the Holy Family's flight into Egypt to escape the hate-filled and death-dealing fear of King Herod. Notice how their desperate, hasty flight is wonderfully suggested by Joseph's beard, blowing from right to left. In this time of separation from one another and from so many we know and love, it may be of solace to know that the Christ knows in his own body and blood the agony of having to leave behind all that is familiar to become a refugee, driven by fear of the plague that stalks in the darkness and the sickness that lays waste at midday, as Psalm 91 puts it. We are not alone in our fears and our isolation. The Christ has been there before us and is with us now in our fears and social distance from so much that gives us life. And if you look for a final note of good news in these windows and for our time, notice how many beautiful angels, symbols of God's invisible presence among us, throng these windows. And they are all making music in the midst of the joys and sorrows they witness all around them. And we can do the same in the midst of all the joys and sorrows of this trying time. Be sure of this, mysteriously, the Christ is still coming to life right now, in our midst. Worth singing about, isn't it?
O God, who knows us in our flesh and blood, in all our fears and joys, we thank you for coming to be one of us in Jesus, our Savior and companion. We thank you for your hospitality to shepherds and magi, to outcasts and scholars, and for knowing and loving us as equals, no matter what our station in life. Continue to go before us when times are threatening, and bring us home again so that we might become ever more deeply your community of love and service, a harbinger of your kingdom in this world. Amen.
Open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. The architecture of Eucharistic Christians orients us to the east, to the sunrise direction. Thereby, when we gather for worship, we all face the promise of a new day. Individually and collectively, as we make our way to the altar, we process toward the empty tomb. And no matter what we leave in Copley Square, we pray to the God of Easter, to the God in Easter, the God of resurrection, the God who was and is forever, hope incarnate. And when we turn back toward the world in the West, we do not leave hope behind. Eucharistic prayer C nears conclusion with the words, "Open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in Christ's name." At Trinity Church, when we turn from the altar, John Lafarge's triptych masterwork, The Christ in Majesty, greets us. Our strength renewed and our communion confirmed, we pass through these windows waterfalls of blues and greens. Leaving the precious realm of Eucharist and Easter, readying to re-enter a world of beauty and mystery. The figure of the living Christ moves toward us, his right foot already leaving the flat panels of the west wall, stepping beyond the feature's columns and their layers of opalescent glass. This glorious Jesus, the same Holy One who gathered us at the altar rail, now gathers us within his halo and becomes our nearest companion. With a hand raised in blessing and instruction, and the story of the cosmos bound within the volume he carries, the Christ in Majesty charges us, "Open your eyes and see my hand in the world about you. Love within me. Heal within me. Serve within me. Pray within me to the God of Easter, in Easter, the God of resurrection, the God who was and is forever, hope incarnate."
Let us pray. We thank you, gracious God, for this holy place of worship, for the stories of your redeeming love that shine forth from these windows and through each painting floating high above, for the prayers and music that have offered transcendent worship through the decades, and for the faith and love that has been rooted and nourished within these hallowed walls. Give us courage in the days ahead to trust in your abiding love. Fill us with compassion for our neighbors near and far. Open our hearts and our listening and give us wisdom in our speaking. Strengthen our resolve to seek hope over despair. And finally, grant us patience as we await the time when we will all rejoicingly gather together again in this sacred space we call our home. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns in glory and majesty this day and always. Amen.